This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek show number 630 with Sammy Collison, recorded on November 29th, 2024. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a chilly winter is here, Bellevue, Nebraska. It was cold outside, and of course, we'll post the show with some world-class show notes. I don't know how many links we'll have at Sammy tonight, but we'll post a few out there.
A few.
At TheAverageGuy.tv. Don't forget, or I want to say, I appreciate our Patreon subscribers. If you're a part of the Patreon team, and many of you are, you do it every single month. Thanks for doing that. That helps pay the bills and do some other stuff and buy some things and some other things, the tech related that makes stuff work here. If you want to join the Patreon team, head over to theaverageguy.tv/Patreon, and you can join that team. Just one plan, $5, join it for 1 month or as many as you want. Thank you to all those who do it. Then also, thanks, and this is December is the bonus month. We're buying stuff for Christmas, right? If you want to use the Amazon affiliate link on the site, head over to theaverageguy.tv. Upper right-hand corner, there's some red lettering that says this site, affiliate, blah, 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 blah. With Amazon, click through that, and you're in business, and you're on the way. So appreciate it if you do that as well. Don't forget, next week, Christian joins us. I just confirmed he will be here. 14 years of Home Gadget Geeks that we will celebrate next week. He mentioned he's going to be a new dad. And so we got dad jokes lined up for him. If you want to leave a dad joke, it'd be great if you would do this via audio. So head over to HomeGadgetGeeks.com. Do it today because you'll forget. HomeGadgetGeeks.com. There's a microphone button in the bottom right-hand corner. Click on it. You got 30 seconds to leave your favorite dad joke. Leave one, leave a few. I'd love a few from you if you could get that done. And then send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. Let me know you've done that so I can go over there and get those. And we will congratulate him on being a upcoming dad. All right. I am Sammy's dad. Sammy is with me tonight.
Hello.
It is our traditional, I don't know, how long do you think? Is this four or five maybe?
Four or five seems right.
Something like that. Moved kind of to this format the Friday after, kind of catch up with you. Welcome to Home Gadget Geeks.
Thanks for having me again.
Okay. Two weeks ago, we talked about your accident. And I think a lot of folks, I showed the pictures. You're here. Just to update some folks. They're worried about you. How are you?
I am doing much better, fortunately. And it wasn't, I mean, in terms of whether it was a bad accident or not, from the car perspective, it was. But from the human perspective, it was not that bad. It didn't break any bones, didn't have any internal bleeding, just got really bruised and was achy for a couple of days, took a day off work. But I've been resting, healing, been to the chiropractor, feeling much better. Still carless at this moment. We'll start car shopping soon, but doing much better overall.
What have you learned? I set you on a mission to learn more about vehicles in this process. I want you to be a part of it, you to pick it out. What have you learned so far?
I think I've learned there's definitely like the general stuff that I had heard bits and pieces from like watching other people car shop about like making sure that it hasn't been in accidents before, whether or not it's a salvage title, how many miles it has on it. But I also have been learning from, especially my brother, Tim, who is a mechanic professionally, about the fact that like when you say there's an automatic transmission, there's multiple types within that. So like in certain makes have better versions of those transmissions than others. So you got to watch out for that and like learning to look back at like whether that make and model has had a recall that year and how to do that on Kelley Blue Book and all that jazz. Basically just like digging into the meat of the history of a car. Cause I started with like 0.5% of knowledge. Now I have like 2% knowledge.
Oh, well, you have this Clifton Strengths theme of input, which I think is number one for you, right?
It is my number one.
Which means you like to collect all this information. So I kind of challenged you to just get smarter about the process. Are you leaning, John Biggs in the chat says, now is a great time to buy a Tesla for real. That's because their prices are down. But are you, what are you thinking? What do you kind of, we haven't decided yet. We've got insurance money still coming. We went through your budget. We kind of figured out what you could do, some of those kinds of things, secured some financing. But what are you kind of looking for?
Unfortunately, Tesla is a little out of the budget, but we're looking at 8 to 10 year old cars. 2015 is like the goal year. I was driving a Civic before, a 2006 Civic Hybrid that served me super well. And so I'm a little biased. A lot of the families owned Civics, Honda Civics before. And so I know that they're reliable and I trust them. So that's definitely option A. We're also becoming a Subaru family. Jim, Dad, and Mom both own Subarus. And John has owned one, another brother. But so they're kind of like sedan of choice is the Legacy, which is what Jim has, which is also an option, a 2015 Legacy. But I'm also looking at, in case those ones tend to get, those at the price point that I'm looking for tend to get snatched up quick. So I'm also looking at something that's doesn't, because like I like the Subarus for their safety features especially, but something that's more in the line of a Honda Civic is, I think it's a Hyundai Elantra. They made a bunch, like Hyundai improved dramatically between 2011 and 2015, and they made a bunch of Elantras in 2015. And so there's a bunch on the market and not for necessarily bad reasons. Like there was one recall for a brake fluid line thing that I'd have to get checked out, but there's a bunch on the market which decreases the demand for them, but they're not a bad car. So that's another one that I'm considering, but mostly looking at non-American made sedans from about 2015.
Yeah. Joe says out in chat, says you can get a used Model 3 for less than 20 with the rebate. We are, and I think we're trying to keep you in that 10 range for, you've got some money to put down. So 10 to 15 is kind of where we want to get you to be. That seems about the right price. The used car market is depressed overall. It's the new market. You know, we kind of the opposite swing where we were 3 years ago. So we're in good shape. I am most excited about you learning about some of these technical things. You were spending some time, you know, Subarus have CVT transmissions and Hondas don't. And we were talking a little bit about the differences between the two and what it means for that. So it's just good. I think it's give you a good education on the car process. I think you'll also appreciate it a little bit more when you have it. Sure. Thinking about maintenance and some of those kinds of things that go into it. So I think overall good experience for you, even though it was a terrible experience, but you're okay, right? I mean,
yes,
I said that, but you're okay, right? Okay.
Yeah. Good. And EVs are exciting. I'm glad that more companies are making electric vehicles. And so that'll probably might be my next car, because hopefully I will get a long time out of this next car that I buy. So the car after that, maybe some used EVs will be in good shape.
Yeah.
And everybody will have fine-tuned the technology. Because I don't want to be on the bleeding edge of the new technology. I'm not about that. I like tried and true.
Yeah. I wonder, that's a good question. I wonder if we would consider EVs still. Would they bleeding is the very first one, right? Then cutting would be the second one. Where they kind of land in that. I think they're getting fairly mainstream. The fact that there's used cars out there that now in that environment, we would have to set up. And I was, you know, thinking about this when I was thinking of buying that Cybertruck. If we did it, you know, you're still here. We'd have to have some kind of charging thing for you here if you went that route. So we could do it. I mean, it could be done, but we're not going to do it, at least at this point.
Not right now, but it's a thought for the future for sure. The future is electric vehicles, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're probably right. So good stuff. Okay, let's catch up. A lot has happened to you since last year.
Indeed.
For those who haven't listened before, where were you last year at this time? And then let's progress forward. Just catch people up.
So last year I had been working at the Bellevue Public Library, our local public library, for about 9 months, I think, 9 or 10 months. And I was really hitting my stride, and I was looking, eyeballing a potential promotion that was kind of, I could kind of see it down the line, that somebody up the chain was going to leave. And I was kind of eyeballing that position, ended up not getting it, and I started job hunting. So in the past year, I spent the first part of the year at the Bellevue Library job hunting, accepted a position doing not what I'm doing, put in my 2 weeks at the library. My first day at that, what was going to be my new job, I got offered a better job. So I took that and ended up having 6 weeks with no work, which was less than ideal, but not a financial catastrophe because I have a good situation here. But now I work at one of our local high schools. I am their library para. So we have two librarians, and they do all the librarian stuff. So one of them does collection maintenance and one does research teaching, but I am in charge of like the space and the students. So that's essentially what I do now.
That's a big, I mean, from what I hear as you talk about it, I mean, you're in charge of the students, right?
I kind of am. And they refer to me as a librarian, which is very flattering based on the fact that I have no librarian education as of right now, but it is very nice. And it was an upgrade to a full-time gig, which is what I needed. And I've got a really good benefits package because I work for a school district. So it was a really big step up into real adulthood for me. And it was very exciting. Mm-hmm. So I started in August. And so I'm almost one semester down working at the school.
Yeah. What have you learned from, I don't know if going into this job, you thought it was going to be as student heavy, or maybe you did. I don't know. What have you learned about yourself through this process?
Once I did the second interview with the librarians, I knew it was going to be a very student heavy job, but I didn't know how that was going to go because I had some experience working with teens, but that was never like a primary function of my job. It was something that I was like, I think I can do this, but I was very much like, I could crash and burn and get fired. Like we'll see. We'll hope I rise to the occasion. And I think I have. I think I do a good, pretty good job. People say nice things about me, and a lot of the students like me. The ones that like to break rules don't like me, but that's pretty par for the course. But yeah, I think I like working with teenagers a lot more than I thought I ever would. If you had told me 5 years ago, like, hey, you're going to be working in a high school, I would have been like, that's crazy. I cannot imagine that. But like, as I've aged into like my mid to late 20s, and I'm farther distant from when I was a teen, I'm still close enough that I remember being a teenager, but I'm not so close that it's blurring the lines between peer and like real adult. So I'm really enjoying it. Yeah. And I think I'm really good at it. And, you know, it's nice to have a steady gig that's like career growth opportunities.
Yeah, Joe asked from the chat room, you get summers off then? And how does that work?
I sure do. Unfortunately, I don't get paid for my summers off. So I will figure out some sort of temp summer gig. A lot of teachers and school staff members do summer school. Our school doesn't have my particular high school farms out all of its academic recovery stuff to other schools. So I don't know if there will be a summer school opportunity available to me. I'm counting on there not being one. And I'm looking at gigs, probably something like waitressing or working in a movie theater, something like that, just to pay the bills, keep me busy.
Well, and there may be something that pops up.
There may be something, and that would be great to just keep working for the schools.
Yeah. Let me roll back a little bit. As you were looking, you know, we knew, you know, the library job was part-time. It didn't have any benefits. You were going to turn 26, you know, this fall. We knew we'd been talking about it for a while. You kind of needed to find that job, or, you know, we'd have to go to the marketplace for benefits for you. Right. But, what'd you learn in that, any, you know, as you think about the job search and doing it. What'd you learn? Again, you have high input. What'd you learn about that or through that process? And any technology that you used to help find these jobs?
I mean, I spent a lot of time on Indeed mostly because it has good search parameters for narrowing things down, especially because one of the, in terms of finding entry level full-time jobs that are all in person, because I did not want anything remote or hybrid. I work best when I go into a job, clock in, work the day, clock out, and then just leave work at work. One of the things that fits the bill the most in our area is healthcare. And I did not want to work in healthcare. So that weeded out a ton of jobs. And so filtering all of those things down, but really it is just a numbers game. I spent probably 6 months job hunting and looking for stuff before. And I applied for like, I would go in and I'd go in a couple times a week and I'm like, I'm going to apply for at least 5 jobs.
That's
today.
A good idea. Yeah.
And I did that a couple times a week for 6 months. And the first 5 months I heard zilch. I got like 2 introductory interviews with like the recruiting company, but not with the actual company. And then there was one where I was lined up to do an interview and then I backed out because it was going to be me spending a bunch of time on the phone. And I was like, this doesn't feel right. I don't actually want to do it. So I think the biggest takeaway was patience, because in the last month, 3 opportunities all came all at the same time. And one of them would have been good, but because the school job was the one that I wanted, because I was looking at other like clerical work, essentially stuff that would harness my skills, because there's not a ton of library work when you don't have a library degree. But as soon as the library para position opened at the high school that I work at, I was like, this is my number one candidate. But there were 2 others that I got interviews for and got offered, and I didn't like them as much, but I hadn't heard back from the school. Mm-hmm. And so like balancing that, like do bird in the hand, bird in the bush.
Mm-hmm.
I let go of 2 birds in the hand for the one in the bush, and it was worth it. Yeah. But that was a big risk and I'm glad that I took it, but it was scary, but it was all about patience, because that was the right thing. I would have ended up taking my career off of doing library stuff just in order to have a full-time job with benefits when I did get to, in the end, to do.
Yeah. Both. Yeah. It was a good move. I mean, you say it was risky. It was, you know, it's a city job, and once you had it type deal, and they offered it to you, but you never know. Are you going to, what's the plan real quick? I'm sure some folks are asking. So, you say you don't have any library experience, you go to school for that. What's the plan to finish up? You've got some stuff to finish up your degree and you can do that. What's your plan to do that?
Yes. So I had people who have listened to the Collison special for a little while. Before I started working at the library, I had done a semester at UNO in their multidisciplinary studies. Sorry about my mic. In their multidisciplinary studies major, where I would basically harvest and recycle some of my journalism stuff and then fill in the rest of the degree with new stuff. But I didn't really know, I was very like aimless, didn't really know what I was going to do from that point. So I just kind of like picked some humanities stuff, but without that drive of like, I'm working towards this thing, and without like having a dedicated time to do schoolwork, like doing most of my schoolwork remote, I was not successful. But UNO has a library science program that you can execute entirely online that is part of the multidisciplinary studies major. So I have developed a plan for doing the same thing of making my journalism credits the secondary and then making the primary concentration of the degree library science. The current plan, because I need about 12 courses, is to spread it out and do a course per trimester so I can do school while working full time, because that's even doing school part time would be a lot. So one class per trimester for the next 4 years or so, and end up with a bachelor's in library science and journalism, which would be great. And also is great because my pension plan through the schools has a 5-year vestment period. So if I stay for 5 years, then the district matches everything that I've put into that pension. So it behooves me to stay in this job for at least 5 years. And if I spend those four of those 5 years finishing my degree, then I am geared to potentially leave the district and do something, go back to maybe the public library sector with more experience, knowledge, and a pretty good boost to my retirement.
Yeah. Sure. Gives you some good options. You know, it just gives you some good options. It's always, that's the question I get from folks who know you all the time is, so is she going to finish? I'm like, oh, there's a plan. There's a plan.
And I might get one or two semesters into it and it might crash and burn, but I feel like I've learned a lot about myself and what motivates me.
Yeah, yeah.
The nature of my job is I have a lot of, not downtime at my desk, but I spend a lot of the time at the desk just needing to be available to students. So I can't get like locked in on anything. I can't put headphones in. I can't get like deep into a book or like play music. And so I just need to be at the desk doing things that can be dropped in a second to help a student or to deal with a behavior issue, something like that. And so like online schoolwork is something that I can execute in those little bits of time at my desk at work. And so I can just like do school at work and not worry about the anxiety of like bringing homework home, which is one of the things that I really struggled with. So that's nice. This is my ideal plan to hack my brain and my executive dysfunction problems.
I think it's a good one. I think you got a good shot at it. You know, nothing's guaranteed, but you have a really good shot at it. You had, during the job search, you had run your resume through ChatGPT to kind of sharpen it up. How'd that experience go?
It was really good for the thing that I needed most, which was condensing my bullet points, because I'm just like a long-winded writer. This is a thing about me. And like the thing that made it doable as a journalist was that all of my writing would go through bare minimum three editors, if not four or five, and they would really help me cut stuff down, or I would write a whole story and then cut it down. And I think I was just out of practice, honestly. Like a lot of the stuff that I was writing was really long-winded. Every like paragraph under, it was a true paragraph under each experience bullet of like, here's all the things that I did. I was like, let's just make this shorter. Let's just condense this sentence into like three words. And I'm like, thanks. I needed that. I just needed an editor, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. And condensed it into a one page.
Okay. I was going to say, did you take exactly what it gave you? Did you go back and do your own revision on it?
I did some tweaks, because sometimes it would cut out something that I felt was important, because it's a machine. It doesn't think the way that people do.
Yeah.
So I did tweak it a little bit, and like, I didn't use it to like write the resume whole cloth. Like I kind of knew how to write a resume and I knew how I wanted it to be structured, but it was mostly like the actual meat of the resume of like describing what my jobs were. It condensed those from paragraphs into bullet points really well.
My temptation would be to just dump the whole thing in there and then it'd give me something back and I'd just use it. Did you go back and forth with it? Did you use it for several edits, or was it kind of, hey, give me some ideas here?
It was the main bulk edit of just like shrinking it down to a one page. Because really, when you're looking at entry level jobs, people are not going to read more than one page of resume.
Yeah.
So I just really needed it to be like concise to the point. And I also think I liked that it used, I mean, people will say this, that like a lot of companies that are doing bulk hiring will run resumes through technology that will scan through and look for certain keywords. And people have said that ChatGPT is very good at giving you those keywords. I don't know necessarily that that's true. I didn't have that like direct feedback, but it was something that I was hoping and might be true. It might be nonsense, but no. It did give me some corporate sounding descriptive words.
Yeah, no, I'm sure in it, it has a lot of resumes in its right in its review. So that's what it's good at. I mean, that's one of the few things
I've ever used ChatGPT for, but it certainly made the most sense as an application for an AI.
Yeah. Yeah. No, super cool. The new library, the new school, Central downtown. It's convenient because I can drop you off as we're getting.
I can literally see Gallup from the window that I eat lunch at.
Super, super convenient. But it's a brand new building and it's got some brand new tech. What yes. Talk a little bit about some of the tech that you you inherited in this new job.
Yeah, so the school itself is very old, one of the oldest schools, if not the oldest school in the state. But the wing that the library is in was finished and opened in 2019. So the library used to just be like a bunch of classrooms where the walls were knocked down in between. But now they have purpose-built a space for the way that we use libraries now. Because now, like, when the librarians give the intro to freshmen when they come in and they talk about the history of the library used to have more books in it than it does. And you would think that with a bigger space, you would have more books. But, like, we've changed the way that we use libraries. And so now half of the library is a classroom space with, like, tiered seating and a projector that comes down from the ceiling. And because all of the students have iPads. So all of the students come in, they take a seat in the classroom area, they open up their iPads, and the librarians will teach them, like, give them reader's advisory or teach them how to research, which is one of the primary things that school libraries have done and continue to do. But so much of that research is now through online databases. And so you need a device in front of you. You're not hitting the books. Students will come and ask for books about their topics. They'll ask for nonfiction. And I'm like, honestly, our nonfiction section is really sparse because all of it is in our databases. And so that's kind of half the library. And a lot of the library, honestly, is social space because there's so few spaces in the school because everything, like, space is at a premium. There's so few spaces in the school for students to just hang out and just, like, do homework during their study hall before or after school. And so that's one of the primary uses for the space is just independent study space. Which is it's very similar to a college library in that way. A lot of high school libraries are becoming more college library, like less books, more outlets everywhere. Every single surface that could have an outlet has an outlet. And there's just lots of tables and places for students to sit and either use their iPad because every student has one or check out a laptop. We have a mini computer lab, but we're honestly getting rid of it at the end of the semester.
Really?
All students are doing is playing games on the PCs because they can get access to games that they can't get access to on their iPads. There so we're just go. Getting rid of it. We're hooking up a PC into the printer so students can print. And we're just going to use those tables as more classroom space.
The old print server is what you're making.
Old print server. Yes. Oh my gosh. Getting things printed is a hullabaloo.
Well, printing has taken on a whole different thing too. I mean, we still have to print, but I just don't think we're printing like we used to. I mean,
no, but students, there are teachers who are still old school enough that they don't want students turning in papers in like Canvas digitally. Yeah, they want a physical piece of paper.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be a while, I think, before, I mean, it's, I'd want a paper.
It is nice because especially if it's double spaced, you can write notes and feedback in the margins. It's easier to read for the teacher when they're grading 100 essays.
Yeah.
To have a physical paper rather than a screen in front of them for several hours. So I get it.
Well, and you could get a version that is like paper on them and then make the markings and do all the things that you would normally do, right? Via PDF. But I get it. I mean, that as you think about the last bastion of paper printing, school papers are probably the last thing, you know, and a lot of businesses are probably still doing stuff on paper. I'll be honest. I don't print that much anymore. What's crazy, I print Menards receipts because they make you.
It's the rebate.
They make you. I've printed some insurance things that we've done recently. I keep
because medical copies. Stuff you is all either physical paper or fax.
Yeah,
like that's still the most secure way with HIPAA.
Insurance. HIPAA. Your insurance card is a paper card now. Like USAA, who we have for insurance, they make it so you can if you needed it, you can get your insurance card pretty easily through the app. And you can just show it to it during your accident. we actually, the police officer handed me back your insurance information, and I looked at it, and it was
expired. The expired one. I lost the most updated one.
I was like, oh, this is expired. I'm like, do you need me to get you? And he's like, no, you'll be fine. You're fine. Yeah. You know, he was like, oh, it'll be fine.
Because in the end, if you call USAA and give them our names, they're going to be like, yes, these people are insured.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still.
They were the officer who was there for you, and in Nebraska, we have a department of roads. We have a big truck, and all their job is to do is to protect motorists mm-hmm. who are stopped. It's crazy. If you in the city of Omaha, right? It may be Sarpy County as well. It may be a Nebraska thing, but a big truck pulls up with lights.
First
behind
person
you.
On the scene. Was roadside assist. Guy? Yeah. Stop behind my car and make sure that nobody hit me.
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of cool. They kind of blocked everything out. Traffic was not happy with us. You made
no,
the radio.
Cause we were on a major highway, between 3:30 and 6:30.
Oh my gosh. It was
afternoon. Truly. There's no ideal time to have an accident, but I maybe had the least ideal time.
It was Friday.
It was Friday too. I was going to go grocery shopping. I got out of work early.
People were burning out, you know, it was slow up to us, and then it would open up again, and then you'd hear people, you know, just
for you, I'm stuck on the side of the road.
Just mad at us.
Yeah.
So printing has, I just bought it's interesting though. I just bought a new, you know, black cartridge for our printer because it had run out of ink. And Sarah said, get the big one. Like typically I buy the cheap, you know, the one that's got like 2 ounces of printer ink in it. And we got the one that had more than that. It's ridiculous how expensive that stuff is. But, so it's any other things technology wise. I mean, I love the classroom, big screen comes down. Anything else you're taking advantage of from a technology perspective?
It is interesting because we are in a mixed ecosystem school. So most schools, especially in the area, started on PC. Like nobody could afford Macs in schools. So everything was desktop PCs. That's what all the computer labs were made up of. All the teachers had HP laptops. All of the projectors and the printers were PC compatible. But now that Mac is more affordable and also in a lot of ways more ideal for what schools are doing, and the fact that students now have iPads as personal devices, every single student in the district, I believe, has an iPad that they do most of their work on. And they have keyboard covers, so they basically function as a laptop. That is less compatible with the fact that everything is HP and PC. And so the district is transitioning in the way that things that the government runs are slowly and somewhat inefficiently. But it happens when it happens, transitioning over to a Mac ecosystem. But it's somewhat of a painful transition because half the printers in the building are Apple printers and half are not. Mm-hmm. So students will come in with their iPad and they're like, I can't connect to the printer. And I'm like, you're going to have to email your document to me and I'm just going to have to print it from my desktop computer PC. All the teachers are switching over from I think all of the teachers had Surface tablets or Surface laptops, Windows Surface. And so they're now switching from those to MacBooks. Like that rollout has happened this semester is a bunch of MacBooks. And we, all of our software is Microsoft, the Microsoft Office suite. And we use Outlook and we might have to switch over to the Google suite. Maybe how well does the Microsoft suite work on Macs? I don't even know these days.
No, it works pretty well.
I haven't used it in a while, so maybe we'll stay in the Microsoft suite
you probably
for
will.
Software.
Yeah.
But we use Outlook and we use Teams for everything.
Right.
But running it on the iPads. We'll see.
No, it should work. Yeah, Microsoft made a huge initiative to be as Mac friendly or to be as iPad friendly as it was on the Windows. So
the building tech support guy was asking for my machine number of all of the computers that we use to check out books. And we were, and I was like, just out of curiosity, why do you want to know? And he was like, oh, the district might replace them with desktop Macs. And I was like, please.
Yeah. Yeah. You're on a Mac. You're on a Mac. So.
Yes. Right. In my personal right. computer is a Mac, but working on my school desktop computer that I check out books to students on and do all my work on is a PC. And so it's a little incongruent that there is certainly, junk in the gears between as we transition over. Yeah. It's but you know, better. That's getting life. Better. That's working in schools.
Well, like even tonight, right? We were trying to come up with 1,000 ways, you know, you on your Mac and it's got mm-hmm. two USB-C connections.
And one standard headphone aux
yeah.
cable. And that's the only ports on the whole thing.
That's it. And good so all of my sound equipment is kind of designed for the most part mm-hmm. for PC. It's all it's USB-A. And so we were like, okay, how are we going to, so you and I were brainstorming like, okay, what do we, I could go buy an adapter. You know? All of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute. I have an extra laptop. It's a PC. You could just, it's the one I use, you know, it's the one I use in the shack. And, I was like, you could just use that one. Just
borrow it for a couple hours.
Yeah. I mean, everything will plug in just fine. It's got plenty of USB-A ports. Mm-hmm. And so we went that direction tonight. I tell you what, I've really liked having it all. Like I have, you know, I've got a Mac Mini. We talked about it last week. I got the new M4. I've got Windows PCs everywhere. I've got touch PCs as well. So I've got a few touch that I can use. I'm using an Android tablet for monitoring things, right? iPhone for you know, for my phone device. So I'm kind of hitting all, I got Mac and Windows, Android and iPhone. I, for most things, for me anyways, all the cross compatibility works just fine. And then I find I'm using, for myself, I'm using the thing, the piece of hardware that's best at it, whatever I need it to be. Mm-hmm. I try to pick the piece of hardware that's like, okay, this is going to be best on the Home Assistant runs great. The dashboard runs great on the Surface Pro because it's mm-hmm. a touch screen, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of designed for that. I watch YouTube on the big monitors because it's great on that. So, and I've got a VR headset too mm-hmm. that I tried to get back into the other day. I don't know. I just, mm-hmm. I want that thing to work. It just doesn't, but I don't know. I think Sammy in this conversion for you guys, it's not about going one, I think it's not about going on only on one ecosystem, but finding the right hardware that works. And I know sometimes the compatibility is iffy, but it seems like it's getting better. I don't know. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I think if there was ever a time to have to deal with the mixed ecosystem school, this is better. Like this is one of the best times because technology, in my experience, has moved so far away from your software being downloaded onto your machine. And 99% of the stuff we do is in a browser mm-hmm. or is in a web app that takes a minute to download. And so like when I started out when I was in school, like the Office suite, you bought Word and you downloaded it onto that computer and you only had it on that computer, but you had it on that computer forever. And like, so you had, it was very machine specific and you had to be on a specific computer to get to certain things. We weren't saving things on the cloud. We had flash drives, but now everything is in the cloud. You can use the entire Microsoft suite in a browser. You can, I think Adobe to a limited capacity, you can use in a browser. And it's a membership. And so you can log in and get it onto whatever computer you're using at the time, which is way easier.
Yeah.
It is more expensive, which I don't like. I don't like that you can't just buy it and have it forever, that you have to keep subscribing to it. But it does make it more convenient for if you're a multiple device user or if you are in school and you're using a computer in the library and a computer in your dorm and a computer in the classroom. These are all different. Floating between different devices has never been easier because everything is in the internet at this point. And so other than trying to connect to printers, everything is fine. It's just trying to get, so we're just going to hardwire a PC into the printer, and we're like, you're just going to have to log into that computer, pull what you need to print from the cloud and print it, and it'll take you 5 minutes. You guys are high schoolers, you can do it. Or you can just email it to me and I'll print it for you. Sometimes that's faster, honestly.
Our home printer, you know, I have an HP. I spent $50 on it. Like, the printers themselves have never been cheaper. Yes. But the print software on that thing, it's so intrusive. Like, as soon as you fire up a computer in the house, it's like somehow the print driver is there. It's like, oh, I found your printer. You can print to it. And even the other day I needed to print something and I couldn't get it. I was having trouble getting it anywhere but my phone. And I'm just like, okay, share to this printer.
Yeah.
So, and it just printed it, right?
And I think one of the things why we don't connect to our printers as easily is because our network is like Fort Knox.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a school network.
Yeah.
And so, like, you can't just, like, Wi-Fi password your way in.
Right,
like, you have to be on a device that is approved to be on the network in order to access anything.
Yeah.
So, I'm doing the old... I don't even remember what it's called, but like, I'm like right clicking on the Windows icon and doing run and doing like /, writing in code. And like, it pulls up all the print drivers and I have to download it to that computer. I'm like doing it maybe the most old fashioned way possible.
Yeah. We did that like 20 years ago.
Yep. I'm still doing that.
The 20-year-old way of finding print drivers. Yeah. Go to the network.
But that's what the tech guys put in the they were like, here's how you connect to a print driver. And I was like, works for me.
Yeah. There's a discussion going on in chat with Joe and Sarah. Sarah's hanging out with us tonight. She has an older, I bought her a workstation 4 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe. Still Core i5, pretty good machine, but it's Windows 10 and it's not Windows 11 compatible. And, you know, most of you know. Well, for sure, in this case, Windows 10 will drop support. It already has. And so I could force, I said I could probably force Windows 11 onto it with the Insider updates, make that work. And yet, to Joe's point, he said in chat, he said he'd forced 11 on a fourth gen and it works beautifully. Supposedly Microsoft won't allow 24H2, which is the Windows 11 next gen update to happen. So it may still fall out of support. I hadn't thought about that, Joe. So thanks for mentioning that. Although Sarah, you have a laptop too. So maybe it's time to retire that desktop. We'll have to move some things off of that. You'll have to go back to just I have a crypto machine that's running Windows 10. I think I'm just going to let it keep running. It won't get security updates. So Sarah, in your case, that's probably not a smart thing to do because you're doing a lot of stuff on that. But
the computers at the Bellevue Library that run the catalog still had Windows 7 on them when I was there. So if you don't need a machine to do much, you don't need the newest software, I suppose.
No. Yeah, we need
it to run a browser.
We are at that spot on the Microsoft side anyways, where they really encouraging everybody. It's kind of funny, like, the rules have really changed. On the Windows side, hardware is definitely getting deprecated out. We're on the Mac side of things. Apple Intelligence is coming. Now that's actually also true there, where my iPhone 12 will not get the Apple Intelligence stuff, although it's not that great. So at least at this point, the stuff I've been messing with. So maybe we're at that time. I don't know. Maybe we're at that time.
Where I don't even think I have the most recent iOS on my 13.
On your phone.
I'm still on iOS 17. Yeah. I haven't done 18 yet.
Okay.
I usually let it go through a few updates before I move to a new iOS just to make sure that they've gotten most of the bugs out. I let other people run into those bugs for me.
That's probably smart. You know,
me on the bleeding edge. We're circling back. I don't want to be on it.
Yeah. Well, you're a version ahead of me on the phone. Mm-hmm. We got you a new phone. And my 12 still continues to run really well. I think I'm just going to let it go to dust because it's just doing really
iPhone
well.
Fixed the problem of if you left it charging overnight, it would fry the battery, and now it stops taking juice once it's charged. And so you're leaving it plugged in overnight does not murder your phone. And so I think I'm going to get a little bit more life out of this one than I did my last one.
No, it'll last.
And I'm very gentle on my phones. Students, here's a crazy thing about high schoolers. They're walking around with no cases on their phones, and they all have cracked screens. And I'm like, what do you know how much this costs? No. I know that your iPhone is your parents' old one, but it's still an expensive piece of technology. Why are you not taking care of it? It drives me crazy. Teenagers.
When I bought the 12, I bought the silicone, the Apple silicone cover for it, and it started peeling off.
It was garbage.
And I ended up getting a $7 cover for it at Best Buy, maybe 10.
Yeah, I think I spent maybe $10 on this case. This is the second one of the same brand. I just bought it. I just bought a new one because it started wearing out. I chipped the corner, but it has my cards in it.
Yeah.
But truly, I've dropped this many, many times, and it's pristine.
For sure.
Why spend more than $20 on a case?
Joe says the latest update for iOS adds RCS chat, which is great for Android users.
That's very nice. So you can do mixed group chats. That's very nice because I do all my group chats in Facebook Messenger or Discord. So it would be nice to do them over text.
Yeah.
To know. Yeah. Maybe that'll get me on the new iOS.
It's funny how all these messenger protocols, all these messenger apps. Mm-hmm. I was on a call this morning. I got up early and I was on a call with some friends in Brazil this morning. And I mentioned, I'm after the call, I'll probably connect with so-and-so on Facebook. And they said, Facebook? Like, you're going to do Facebook for that? And I'm like, yeah, it works out really well. I'm like, oh yeah, that's only WhatsApp in Brazil. Mm-hmm. That's all they use down there. Yep. And so even regionally, there's some big differences.
Yeah, I think outside of the US, everybody's using WhatsApp.
For sure.
And Facebook Messenger, because my generation is either falling off of Facebook or never had one to begin with. And everybody younger than me has never had a Facebook to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got a lot of group chats on Discord, but once everybody's on RCS, I think we'll be able to go back to texting each other.
Yeah.
And actually exchanging phone numbers instead of just being like, accept my friend request, please.
Sarah has updated us.
What's your username?
10-3 Nebraska still, nearing the end of the third quarter. So we've got a little ways to go. Sammy, anything else? You and I were both yawning before we got to tonight. Next year, I think we're going to do this at 7 and not 8.
Now another thing about working for a school, I now wake up at 5 a.m. and go to bed at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. I have an old lady grandma sleep schedule because I open up the library at 7 and it takes a while to get to work. Yeah. So that's my life now.
Yeah. And listen, I've been, about 9:30, I fall off a cliff and I try to stay awake till 10 or 10:30, just because if I don't, I'll be up at 3 in the morning. So I just try to make it. Anything else you want to throw in there before we wrap it up?
I don't think so. Unless anybody has any questions about what it's like working with teenagers in the year of our Lord 2024.
Your stories are funny as we're talking about at dinner. I'm like, wow, you're not cutting those kids any slack.
And I get called Miss Collison.
Yeah.
That's a big shift, is getting called Miss Collison instead of my first name on a daily basis, or just Miss, because they don't bother to. Kids in my school don't bother to learn teachers' names. It's very silly.
Well, we're happy for you. We were sad to see the 2006 Honda Civic make its way.
It was a bummer. I was very sad watching it get towed away from the front of our house. But
we're glad it took good.
Yeah, 18 years of good driving out of that thing.
Yeah. Yeah, 250,000 miles. And it took good care of you. I mean,
and it
was,
kept me alive on a front collision with a concrete barrier.
Yeah, yeah. Front and side airbags deployed.
Maybe could not have been a worse place to hit a barrier, but.
My favorite part.
My collarbone really bad.
My favorite part, I shouldn't say it this way, but my favorite part of the whole experience, the funniest thing of the whole thing, was at one point, Nebraska Department of Roads was out. Mm-hmm. And this guy was looking at the accident and he's looking up and you had taken out a temporary barrier was up underneath.
One of the orange stripey things with the flashers on top.
And a cone. You had taken a cone underneath.
Don't forget the cone.
Yeah, the cone. You took the cone out. And the guy was like, well, you know, what they were doing was assessing if you were going to have to pay to replace those. That's what they were assessing.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, nah, it's fine. No. He goes, lean it up against the barrier. It'll be fine. Yeah. And it was bent. It had a good C bend.
It was
to
like
it.
Fully under my car.
You had bent it. And
Civics are designed for anything that hits the front end to go under instead of into the driver.
So right. Good engineering. Yeah. No, it was super good. The car was full of Diet Coke.
But yes, I had a full Diet Coke in my cup holder. I hadn't taken a single sip because I swung by Burger King on my way out of work and I was going to grocery shop and I needed some caffeine. And it went all over the car. My glasses on the floor, my car, my phone on the floor.
Yeah. Everything.
I talked about this Brewmate cup on an episode. Update.
Oh,
I
yeah,
still
yeah,
use
yeah,
it
yeah.
And still have it. It has one single dent below the handle from the accident. So, I had just gotten it last time I talked about it, and I can now fully wholeheartedly recommend
that. Nice. Yeah.
Tumblr.
Good. Well, we'll put a link to that in the show notes, the one link, the one product we talked about. And John says it was great hearing your updates. So thanks for coming on. As yes. is the tradition stands, we'll have you back next, if we're still doing this, if I'm still doing it, we'll have you back next Thanksgiving, yes. Or at least the week of Thanksgiving. Couple reminders on the way out. If you want to join us live for the next three weeks, Christian is back next week. It's his 14 years of Home Gadget Geeks, and we'll celebrate that with him. Don't forget the dad jokes, homegadgetgeeks.com. Record
submit
those for me.
Submit your dad jokes.
Submit your dad jokes, your best dad jokes. John Biggs is joining me on the 19th. On the 19th. But before that, Dave McCabe is going to come back and join us on the 12th. So Dave will be here on the 12th. John on the 19th. It's Christmas on the 26th. I'm taking that weekend off. And then Aaron Lawrence is back. We're going to look at the future of technology and gadgets for 2025. Kick off the year with Aaron, and she'll be here on the 2nd to get the new year started right. If you want to join us in the Discord group, head over to theaverageguy.tv/Discord. Love to have you a part of that group. That's a fun one. Some good stuff. We've been sharing some Black Friday deals and just some good stuff. Not too much talk, but just enough that it's there. Again, theaverageguy.tv/Discord. And don't forget the averageguy.tv platform, both web and media hosting, powered by Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people that you know and you trust. And you know that's Christian. For more information, check out Maple Grove Partners, all one word, maplegrovepartners.com. He's got a plan. I think it's still starting at $10. We'll find out in next week when he's on, but I think the plans still start at $10. Sammy, thanks for coming on tonight. We're glad you're fine. So I'm glad it all worked out well.
My roller coaster of my 20s. Every time I'm on, my life is totally different.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of fun because we have 4, 5, or 6 of these where we kind of talk about what you're doing. So it's kind of cool. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv/live. Be back next week with Christian. Sanders is in the room now meowing. For everybody who listened live, thanks for coming out. With that, we'll say goodbye, everybody.